You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, such a good week. All the college basketball, the Champ Week action continues here today. We got the SEC quarters. We got Mississippi State and Tennessee. We got South Carolina, Auburn. That's just part of an enormous day and a huge weekend leading up to the selection stuff this weekend. And all the action is here on ESPN. All right, what a day. What a morning. What a week we're finishing up here on this Football Friday. It's Get Up. We are live at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. You see the squad. Graziano is here. Bartholomew's got a lot to say. Dominique's shoes are just ridiculously awesome. Kendrick Perkins going to jump in this hour as well. But let's start a new hour with an NFL free agency stock up and stock down. Dominique, give me someone whose stock is up after this week.
Oh, yeah. I think Jalen Hurts' stock should be up. He's bringing in, or he already has these two great receivers. Then they're adding Saquon Barkley and then a new offensive coordinator. I think a lot of the issues with the offense last season was it was not evolved and it was not equipped to handle the blitz, which could be some on Jalen and could be some on the coaching staff. So with Kellen Moore coming in, there is aspirations that I think they can figure all this stuff out, and Jalen Hurts can be back to the player he was when they made that Super Bowl run.
Bartholomew, give me someone whose stock is down.
Man, Minnesota, what are you doing? You can't sign Justin Jefferson. You talk about losing to Neil Hunter. Sam Darnold, the Marlboro man grandson, is your starting quarterback. I'm like, what are we doing here, man? Like, Kevin O'Connell, former teammate, bro, I feel bad for you, B. Like, stock down.
They will.
You need more? I can keep going.
They may very well trade up, and try and get themselves a quarterback.
Trade up for where? How much did that cost?
Kirk Cousins could cost a lot. They're sitting at 11. Graziano, give me a team whose stock is up.
I think the Houston Texans. I was very curious to see what they would do building off of that great rookie year by C.J. Stroud. Danielle Hunter, big get for them, an expensive one, but a big get for them on the edge. They make the trade for Joe Mixon and give him a contract. I think that'll give them a better running game than they had last year. I just like a lot of what Houston is doing in terms of adding pieces around a team that had a rookie quarterback last year and a rookie head coach and still made the second round of the playoffs.
All right, and then I will sort of speak for a lot of other people when I say stock down on the Cowboys just because it doesn't feel like they've added a lot. They did add a good linebacker in Eric Kendricks, but at the end of the day, I believe they're being completely hamstrung by their pending, looming contract situations, including the one with that man, their quarterback, Dak Prescott, that they're in the midst of as we speak. And they got to figure out what they're going to do with C.D. Lamb. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Micah Parsons. In the meantime, they're losing good players, and the teams around them are getting better while they stand still at best. Now, this is coming off of their owner, Jerry Jones, saying that the team was going to be all in for next season. So yesterday, his son, Stephen Jones, expanded on just what exactly that means.
I know where the frustration is, the fact that we haven't had success in the playoffs to their satisfaction. Until we do that, you know, the criticism is certainly something that's going to be there. We don't define all in as what you spend in free agency. It's keeping, you know, the core, keeping some of the great players in this league, like Dak Prescott, like CeeDee Lamb, like Micah Parsons, like Diggs. You know, that's what we define as all in.
All right, so as you pop your collar in his honor, and we all did like the look there, I mean, so do you buy it? When he says all in means we're keeping our guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what all in means. I think keeping their guys is smart. I think what they're doing right now is smart. It's the way that they've been running this organization. The most important thing, like to all the questions that people have about how they're going to fix whatever problems they have, when you have a lot of veteran players or a number of veteran players who are really good and deserve to get paid, what you have to do now is find good replacements in the draft. It's not going to be signing high-priced free agents. Free agents are going to get their value. In order to build a successful team and sustain a successful run, which they have. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl. They've successfully sustained this run in part because They seem to have understood that you draft well and you develop well. They're going to do it again because they've been doing it for a while. Since Dak Prescott, they got in the fourth round. They've been doing it time and time again. Let's not forget about Trayvon Diggs, whom they had to pay. They are getting ballers in the draft. So you know when you can draft well, you don't have to overpay for players in free agency.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. I get it. And they've been really good, and Jerry Jones used the term hanging around the rim, which some people didn't like, but I actually think it does make sense. I mean, you take your shot enough times, maybe eventually you break through. But here is the problem. They had the window where they were built around Dak Prescott and Zeke, and they were young and on rookie contracts, and they didn't get anywhere. And now they've had Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb when they've been young and inexpensive, and they haven't gotten anywhere. So I'm struggling to figure out where they're going to get better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I get that they're still good, but they feel like a team that did need to make a move or two to get better, and I'm just not sure how they do it.
And that move can still come, right? Free agency is not a one-week thing. It's you got the veterans that are going to get cut after June 2nd. It's going to be a pool of players that's going to come for a one-year deal, prove-it deal. But their core and their nucleus are together. And, you know, locking them up, because if you don't pay Michael Parsons this year, what's going to be the price next year? If you don't pay CeeDee Lamb this year, what's going to be the price next year when Justin Jefferson, you know, explodes the salary cap, right? $30 million, maybe something crazy like that. So if paying these guys early is being able to get it done.
Your question was the answer, though. You said they had a successful transition. Remember when we were talking about when you pay Dak, you're not going to be able to compete. They paid him and they competed because they drafted well.
Yes.
And they're going to do it again because that's what they've been
able
doing.
To move away from Tyron Smith, who's been a staple for them.
Yeah.
Dragged right out of the program because they drafted well with his replacement.
He still hasn't signed anywhere either, by the way. He could be back. Like, that's not out of the question. Look, I mean, they are who they are. This is their approach. Jerry Jones can say all in, all in. 75% of what Jerry Jones says is for entertainment value, and we treat it as informational.
Right.
No, like, he's just talking. So I think they're gonna do what they do. They believe this is the correct way to build your roster and maintain it when you have a good quarterback in his prime, which they believe that they do. So that's what's going to happen. And they're going to get back Trayvon Diggs, right? And they had a kid they drafted, a linebacker from Texas.
I mean, look
Texas,
at what Bland.
Overshawn. He didn't even play for him last year. They think he's going to –
They developed Bland. So they've done a good job in developing guys, right? And they don't have to pay him, so they can allow Stephon Gilmore to graduate, right?
The other thing about him saying he's hanging around the rim, I understand why that might rub people the wrong way, but it's in football, when it's a single elimination tournament, it's kind of random. The best thing that you can do is keep taking shots. It's not like basketball where the best team wins. You keep taking shots. You keep getting in there, and I understand that they've fallen short, but the reason why they have fallen short is not because they haven't built a good enough team.
Right. That's the thing. You cannot just make your playoff chances better. And all you can do is get – they've won one playoff game the last 5 years. You know how many the Eagles have won? Two. In the last 5 years. We base everything on this tiny sample size of games. Like, yes, the Cowboys would love to make a move this week that guaranteed them a spot in the Super Bowl. But
is Mahomes available? Is Patrick available?
No, but I mean, you're making
that sit down.
If he's not sit down.
To some degree, you are making that the other point, though, which is to say, not long ago, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made an aggressive offseason move. They won a Super Bowl. They went for the whole,
Come on, Green.
But did they get awful?
Is Tom Brady available?
No, but Matt Stafford, I'm saying you make an all-in move. You trade all these. They didn't just get Tom Brady. They got all these other pieces. And we said, they're going to be terrible for 5 years. In the meantime, they won a playoff game this year, and Dallas didn't. The Rams, we said, they got rid of all their picks. Oh, they're going to be awful forever. You know what? They were a legitimate playoff team this year, and they could be a contender again. You can go all in differently than we're talking about.
They're not losing because of lack of talent, right? They have.
Well, then why are they losing? I mean, why do they keep losing?
Because their quarterback comes up small, and he's not a force multiplier.
But now you're about to pay him twice as much as you've been paying him.
Where else do you go? What's your option?
Are they not?
I don't know. They haven't done it yet.
Well, so, I mean, that's a whole other question.
I feel like we oversimplify these conversations to the point. I don't think that the answer I am, but
that's
maybe
my college word for my associate's degree. I learned that one yesterday.
Right. I don't know. They've done a really good job over the course of the last decade or so.
I demand an episode of the Dominique Foxworth Show, the podcast, with Art Scott. I have to hear that interview.
Why don't you give me an invite? I could be unchained?
No. Greeny,
can I say potty
Greeny,
words?
Greeny is an experienced, talented host. I'm not.
No.
I cannot. I mean, Bart Scott?
To hear this conversation.
Oh, we're not live, though.
Okay.
We can record.
I'd be like Django Unchained on that thing.
Much more football as we continue. But let's go. Let's run the floor because I got Kendrick Perkins standing by, and I've got fascinating stuff from J.J. Redick. All right, first off, here's what happened in the NBA last night. The Bucks outscored the 76ers by 17 points in the second half, and they knock off Philly. Giannis leading the way, 32 points, 11 rebounds. Bucks are 8-3 since the All-Star break. Let's stay in the East. The Knicks dominated Portland last night, winning 105-93. Jalen Brunson, sensational. 45 points for the third time this season. Last player for the Knicks to do that was Carmelo Anthony 11 years ago. And in Boston, the Celtics just keep dominating against the better teams in the NBA. Jaylen Brown had 37, Jason Tatum 26, Boston knocking off KD and the Suns 127-112. Celtics are 15-2 in their last 17 games. That also, with that win, makes them the first team in the NBA this season to officially clinch a playoff spot. They've been the best in the sport, but I should tell you, history has not been kind to teams in this position. Only four in the last 25 years of the teams that were the first to clinch a playoff spot won the championship. And those teams had Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Speaking of KD, in that loss to Boston last night for the Suns, KD had 20. And while he has been very much maligned this year and in others, I want you to hear what J.J. Redick had to say about him because it is fascinating.
We're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the f*** did we spend all this time with all the discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game? He's literally one of the greatest players ever, and we spend too much time on the instead of just appreciating his night-to-night greatness.
Okay, so that's a fascinating take, I thought, from JJ, and I'm sure it got a lot of reaction, and it will here. Oh, the big fella, Big Perk, is up and ready to go.
Happy face
or sad face? Yes, I'm just trying to read the face. Big Perk, what did you think of that?
You know, Greeny, good to see you, first off, okay? You know that JJ Redick, every month, like once a month, he's going to go on these cute, adorable rants, okay? And majority of the time, he's right and he's on point. This time, it was a reach and he's wrong. First of all, KD doesn't even fit in that box. We're talking about an all-time great. Guys have acknowledged that right now, KD is a top 20 all-time great. That's not being underappreciated. Kevin Durant started in the All-Star game. That's not being underappreciated by the fans. And so when you think about KD, right, I have him as arguably the greatest scorer to ever touch the damn basketball. And I've said that on many occasions. I didn't hear Jamal Crawford, one of the most skilled guys to ever touch the basketball, say that Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. I heard Stephen A. said that Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. When you talk about guys that are underappreciated, it is guys that fit the criteria like a DeMar DeRozan, who we don't talk about enough, one of the like elite scorers to ever play the game, like a Rudy Gobert, who is going to be in the Hall of Fame, who is on the verge of winning his fourth Defensive Player of the Year, but still don't get the acknowledgement that he's supposed to get, especially from his peers. When it comes down to Kevin Durant, nobody's underappreciating him. Matter of fact, we give him his flowers all the time. Yeah. That was a horrible take by J.J. Redick.
But let's focus on the other side of it. Do people, and by people, I guess I mean us, you and me and the others who talk about this, do we focus too much on what he hasn't done or the things he's done that we did not like, and not enough on how day in, day out great he is?
Well, Greeny, let me say this to you, okay? Right? So you just think about the situation and you think about, okay, forget the fact that he left Oklahoma City and went and joined the Warriors. Okay, he actually joined the Warriors and got it done. Okay, but now you think about him leaving Golden State and going to join Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets. If Kevin Durant never leaves Golden State, guess what? He has two more championships at least, maybe one to three finals, more finals MVPs. Okay, and then when he gets to Phoenix, All we ever question KD about is getting uncomfortable, raising his level of leadership, because he is the old head on that team. He is the guy that has the championship experience that actually completed the mission. So, no, I mean, we got to talk about those things. We talk about Braun. We talk about Steph at times. You know, when Golden State is through a slump, it's not underappreciating him or talking about, you know, the things that has happened.
Perk,
we're
stay
supposed
with me.
To.
I gotta take a quick break. I want to come back later in this hour with you, and I want to dive more into this, because I think there is a lot more to be said. I think it is a fascinating topic. So Perk is going to stay close by. We're going to get back to that. We'll also talk about the Lakers when Perk rejoins us, why one person says he cannot take LeBron and L.A. seriously. Does Big Perk agree? We'll find out. And, of course, much more football. A change of course in Chicago. Why the uncharted waters might just be the best route the Bears can choose. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back to football on Get Up. Oh. Fill in the blank is our next game. Let's talk about some notable players that could still be on the move. Dominique. Next season, T. Higgins will be playing for
Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, the Bengals have a chance to make a Super Bowl run, and I understand that maybe T. Higgins is not in their long-term plans, which I appreciate. When you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow, I think you can start to cut some corners at the weapons, but they still got Chase. But right now, does he help them get a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Yes, and they are not going to move off of him. They're going to leave that franchise tag hanging on him and go ahead and make a run at the big one.
Bartholomew, let me come to you next. Hmm. Next season, Justin Jefferson will be playing for...
I'm going to go Minnesota. I just can't see how you let that type of talent leave. They'll tag him, do whatever they have to do. They're going to try and convince him to stay. There's no way you walk away and let Randy Moss walk out of your building again.
I mean, what you could trade him for, maybe the biggest trade haul in the entire NFL for a team that feels like it needs to rebuild, there's no sense to be made in that.
They should trade him to the Cowboys, get revenge for the Herschel Walker trade.
get back.
Yeah.
I don't see him leaving. He might.
All right,
might
Graziano. Let's talk about Justin Fields. Fill in that blank. Next season, Justin Fields will be playing for.
Look, I have no idea, right? So I sent in Patriots because they still kind of need a guy. And is there a world where you could imagine them sort of trading out a number three, adding assets and acquiring a guy like this? Sure. But I mean, I just picked a name out of a hat. Look, he is probably going to end up at best in a competition for a starter spot and more likely as a backup quarterback at this point. And even those chairs are getting filled here this week. So it is almost impossible to predict this. I said Patriots because I had to say something.
Let me throw another possibility in here. We had a great conversation with Courtney Cronin, our Chicago reporter, earlier this morning about all the machinations of this and why it's taken so long and where the Bears find themselves with this, which is in an uncomfortable place.
But someone was making the point this morning that the New York Giants, who, of course, signed Drew Locke, so they bring him in, they may be discouraged from playing Daniel Jones at all this year for financial reasons.
He's guaranteed $35 million this year.
This year.
But there's an injury guarantee of another $23 million in 2025. So if he were to get hurt and couldn't pass a physical in March of 25, they would have to technically pay him that. You don't see it often. Look,
but to make the point.
I get what you're saying.
Daniel Jones has never gone through an entire season healthy practically.
Right.
So him getting hurt feels like a likelihood. And everyone has been talking about that contract like, well, after 2 years, they get out of it.
Right.
Not if he gets hurt, they don't.
Right. I don't think the Giants are in position to give away a season. So I'll say this. If Daniel Jones is healthy to start the season or at any point this season and they deem him the best option, I believe he will play. Now, if they were to get into the season and it's lost, right, and then maybe at that point you look into sitting him down to avoid that guarantee, much like, you know, the Broncos did with Russell Wilson, the Raiders did with Derek Carr a couple of years ago.
Fair.
Right.
But what I am then also just bringing up here is if all of a sudden for a fourth-round pick you could have Justin Fields.
So one interesting development last night, the Seahawks GM, John Schneider, went on the radio and said they tried to re-sign Drew Locke, but he was told that he would have a chance to compete to be the starter in New York, which he wouldn't have had in Seattle. So that's very telling in terms of where the Giants are with Daniel Jones at this point, too.
I'd be surprised if they put Daniel Jones out there very much this season, because that would suggest that they didn't learn from what happened last time and how Daniel Jones had a good enough season and won a playoff game, and that's how he got in a deal that they immediately seemed like they regretted. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones can't play, but it seems clear that the Giants don't want to end up with him with their long-term answer. So why would they put him out there? Again, it's similar to the Justin Fields situation, is why would you put him out there and hope that he has success so that you can then be stuck with a imperfect decision.
Yeah, because if you're around in this market, you understand it's weird that Daboll won Coach of the Year, but now his job is on the line because of some of the things and reports that came out about how the staff was perceived. So now he's a coach that's under pressure and Joe Shane to win and produce now. They go out and they make the big splash for Brian Burns. You know, we don't know what Daniel Jones really is. We know that we heard the Rich Eisen report saying that, hey, they heard it at the combine that maybe they were over Daniel Jones and it was a bad contract. But they gave him that contract because they were forced to, because he won a playoff game with not a subpar roster. Now we anticipate that they're going to go out and maybe make a big splash for Malik Nabers. But I think maybe in the draft it's a safer way to go. Maybe if a Michael Penix Jr. Drops, they can move up and maybe grab a player like that they can develop. But I don't see them going out for Justin Fields, because they may find themselves in the same place, having to decide if they're going to pick up his fifth-year option or give him a long-term deal.
So let's circle it then back to Fields just to finish it up, because as we discussed with Courtney Cronin, the possibility of him remaining on the roster, well, indefinitely, something that seemed unimaginable to us maybe 2-3 weeks ago, suddenly feels very real.
We thought they were going to get a nice deal for him and that he might be viewed by someone as their potential starting quarterback for this year. That has not turned out to be the case. What we think about Justin Fields here doesn't seem to be lining up with what the NFL does. So, that possibility exists. To the point of the Giants, look, I've raised this a couple weeks ago. Like, I think the Giants make some sense, but I don't get the sense that they're considering it, honestly. Like, I mean, you never rule anything out, but they're not a team that has come up when I've asked about potential Fields landing spots. So I don't see it happening.
I think it's important to point out that we keep talking about how the league doesn't value him that well. I think it's important to point out that this is a unique circumstance.
Yes.
And that there's a lot of good quarterbacks coming in. And the team that he plays for has the first round overall pick, and he hasn't solidified himself as a starter. So I think part of the reason why people are not interested is because they're unclear on where he is.
Right.
He's the type of guy that you need to commit to. And when there's a lot of rookies that look attractive, you're not trying to commit to a guy that's on the verge of a second contract.
Usually supply-heavy quarterback market this offseason.
But the market has spoken, and the Bears need to get off of whatever draft pick and do what's right by the kid, because they mismanaged him his entire career.
That's probably what it is.
Negligent.
That's the other piece of this. Maybe they're just asking too much at this point. We'll see. Meanwhile, I need to get back to the Kevin Durant stuff. So if you were watching a little bit earlier, Big Perk and I just scratched the surface. I want everyone in on this. J.J. Redick made a fascinating point about KD, one of the most controversial or polarizing players in NBA history. We've got a lot to say about it next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back at the bottom of the hour here on Get Up. Big Perk is with us, and we're going to get some basketball here. And let's start with a little game of fact or fiction. So, Big Perk, if I said the Lakers have a better chance to make a run in the playoffs than the Warriors do, is that fact or fiction?
It's facts, Greeny. Look, I don't expect them to have a big run in the postseason, but I picked them over the Warriors. You know why? Because they still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, a better duo than the Golden State Warriors have in Steph Curry and Jonathan Kuminga. So I would have to go with the Lakers solely because of that point.
We're going to talk about them a little more in a minute. Next, though, if I said Nikola Jokic is going to win his third MVP this season, is that fact or fiction?
Greeny, what if I said that's facts? Right now, what Jokic is doing to the rest of the league, not only is he the best player in the league, but he has went and he's taken the MVP. Like, nobody is giving this to him. The way he's been dominating on both ends of the floor, he's been great defensively as well. Right now, to me, it's Jokic all day long.
No question about it. Then finally, if I said Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns are going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, is that fact or fiction?
I would say you have to get your brain checked, Wendy. Greeny, because that is fiction. Look, they still lack depth off the bench. I don't have trust in Nurkic and Bol Bol like that to be able to battle the likes of a Sabonis or a Jokic. And I don't even think that they have solidified that void of that wing position, that defender. Not taking no credit from Royce O'Neal, but they still needed an upgrade at that position. I thought it was a little upgrade, but not major.
Yeah, they lost to Boston last night. Kevin Durant had 20. The Celtics have been ridiculously good. But I want to play again for those who've just joined us here, particularly at the bottom of the hour. J.J. Redick had some really interesting comments on his podcast about Kevin Durant, who I think is one of the most polarizing players in terms of evaluation that I can ever remember in all my years covering the NBA. Let's listen again to JJ.
We're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the f*** did we spend all this time with all the discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game? He's literally one of the greatest players ever, and we spend too much time on the instead of just appreciating his night-to-night greatness.
So here's what I think, and I wanted to get Bart and Dominique in this conversation as well, because I think this is like your classic barbershop conversation at this point, right? That's what this has become with Kevin Durant. And here's the argument that I would make. You can ask two questions. Is he underappreciated? Or you can ask, how will he be remembered? And I actually, are we paying too much attention to the things he hasn't done or the things he's done that we have had issue with rather than the consistent greatness? And I think I would argue with JJ, and it's a conversation I'd love to have sometime, I think history is actually going to go the other way. I think the way we remember these great players, fairly or unfairly, rightly or wrongly, in large part has to do with the championships that they've won. And unless Kevin Durant is able to do that again in some other place besides the only place he did it, I do not think he will be remembered that way. Kevin Durant is a player who 5 years ago we would have said was the second best player of his generation. I think he has been surpassed by Steph Curry on that list, despite the fact that he, Durant, was the MVP of the finals when he won those championships with Steph. I think part of the moving around, you look at the players like him who've been from team to team, you look at the abject disaster that was his time in Brooklyn, whatever part of that he has to wear, whether he was the one who sort of came out of it better than anyone else or not. I think the reality is, for all of his greatness, and no one questions how great of a player he is, I agree with you, Perk, when you said earlier, he's probably as good a scorer as has ever lived. I actually do not think history is going to be as kind to Kevin Durant unless something substantial changes here towards the end of his career, as JJ is suggesting. What do you think of that?
And you're absolutely right, Greeny. And I want to bring LeBron James into this, okay? LeBron James won two championships in Miami, okay? If he would have just stayed in Miami, do you think we would have LeBron James on this high pedestal like we do for us being in the GOAT conversation? Hell no. LeBron James actually knew that he had to go back to Cleveland and win a championship, and he did that. He went back to where it started from and had one of the greatest runs in finals history, being down 3-1 to knock off a 73-9 Golden State Warriors team. And then he went and left and won another championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, we look at the late, great Kobe Bryant. He won three championships with Shaquille O'Neal as his counterpart. Okay, when we start putting Kobe in a different conversation, is when he won those two championships after Shaq left. So it's not unfair criticism with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant actually could change the narrative. Kevin Durant actually is in a great situation right now with Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and the Phoenix Suns that he actually could change this entire conversation. But it's not unfair for us to bring up Kevin Durant's career and the journey he had to take for us to go win a championship and going to, you know, a team that had already won one with the big three and Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. That is not unfair. Every single great in the history of basketball has had to face some type of criticism at some point of their career.
So I want to bring my guys in on this, and I'll make one final point, and then I'm just going to give you guys the floor. Here's the other thing I would say. The debate is not about whether or not Kevin Durant is an all-time great.
Right.
Of course he's an all-time great. He is so great, in fact, that he's now being graded on an entirely different scale. Yeah. We're not talking about whether he's a great player. We're talking about whether he's one of the five to seven greatest players of all time. And that's where, in my view, it's going to fall short.
We're familiar with that in dealing with quarterbacks also. And you mentioned it's a barbershop conversation. It's a perfect podcast conversation.
Right.
And on mine, I've fought with my host a bunch of times, and I'm on the pro Kevin Durant side. But the thing that I finally landed on is Kevin Durant might be the only player in the history of basketball that is going to have an all-time great Hall of Fame career, but also have a disappointing career.
Yes.
And I think that's what kills us, is we all see how good he is, and we all see that he's one of the best that we've ever seen. But the championship results don't compare, and that's for a number of different reasons, in part because of situations that happened at OKC, and then for whatever reason, we don't give him credit for the Golden State. Well, not for whatever reason, because they were 73-9. We don't give him credit for the Golden State one, even though he was clearly the guy that they went through in the clutch, and whether you call him a bus driver or not, it was important that he came in there and it helped revitalize the dynasty that they had that was fading. So it's the tough part about looking at him and realizing, like, look, this is Hall of Fame greatness in the conversation with the best ever, but it's also less than we expect for somebody that talented.
The nuance of this conversation is going to get lost the further and further he gets from the NBA. That's the thing. So, like, the generation that comes after us that's sitting on these same platforms are going to forget the nuance, right? He basically tried to do exactly what LeBron James did. LeBron James had to go to Miami to learn how to win. He went to Golden State to learn how to win. And oddly enough, he did exactly what LeBron did. He hitched his wagon to Kyrie Irving, but he got a different version of Kyrie Irving that LeBron James got, and it fell apart. because of a pandemic, because of the, you know, the shot and all that type of stuff, right?
Vaccine,
so
now, yeah.
Right, so the vaccine. So, like, he gets derailed, right? And then he carries that team on his back, just like LeBron carried, you know, the Cavaliers on his back. And you talk about if he wore a half a size smaller, maybe we're not talking about Giannis, we're talking about him. So now he's going out there, and if he doesn't get those championships, we always measure greatness by championships. And we always talk about the Hall of Fame. It's levels to it, right?
Right, yeah.
And he deserves to be up in the penthouse with the best of the best. But unless he gets those championships, we'll never elevate him in there. And for all that, he'll be like one of these players that our parents talk about. Remember Earl Monroe or remember Elgin Baylor? You know what I mean? We're going to hear those type of conversations. And the nuance is going to be, like, well, he only had two championships.
Go ahead, Big Perk.
And Grinny, let me go back to the point of the underappreciated, right? And going back to, again, and saying, Kevin Durant is, in my eyes, the greatest scorer to ever touch the basketball, right? When it comes down to having zero flaws, being efficient, we haven't seen Kevin Durant. He's one of one. That's number one. Number two, listen, when we're talking about guys that are underappreciated around the league, right, just in today's game, I brought up Rudy Gobert, right? Because this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. This guy's going to be labeled one of the best defenders of all time. We don't talk about him enough. You think about a guy like Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis. He is leading the league in triple-doubles. He is leading the league in double-doubles. We don't talk about him enough. He didn't even make the All-Star team this year. He's underappreciated. But when I think about KD, think about what he said a couple months ago. I believe it was on his podcast. Kevin Durant said, I feel like I should be in the GOAT conversation. Well, if you feel like you should be in the GOAT conversation, you actually got to do GOAT things. And GOAT things is actually building and going and winning an NBA championship with you actually leading a team that needs to be led. And that's why I put so much pressure on him to get uncomfortable in Phoenix and go outside his comfort zone and be the leader that they need him to be.
That's an important point. The story is not finished.
Yeah.
The book is not yet. There's a chapter or two left to be written, and mm-hmm. he could change a lot with the situation he's in.
He's one of a kind, and for so many players like this, the problem for the Kevin Durant conversation is he's obviously good enough to have won a lot more championships, but he has not for whatever reasons. If it's for issues,
he's Aaron Rodgers of basketball.
They were too young in OKC, and Perk could obviously speak to that better than I can. Or because things got uncomfortable in Golden State, so he had to leave. Or because of the pandemic and the stuff. Like, there are lots of things that happened that kept him from getting in, or because he had the misfortune of being in the league at the same time as LeBron James. But that's the tough part, is he's obviously one of the greatest of all times. Like, talent-wise, he is one of the GOATs. But that's not how we measure GOATs.
Very see, quick.
But we're Perk knows more about basketball than anybody, but we're talking about the conversations had in the barbershops
with right.
everybody outside of us. We're the small minority. The majority of people don't see it that way. We're talking about the common folks that just see basketball a different way than obviously you can ever see it, Perk.
Perk, you're the best. Thank you. We'll be seeing you all day long and all weekend long, all the basketball heat.
Hey, man, give me one of them French doodles on half price, man.
We work our way. You're a funny guy. As we continue here, again, lots of basketball coming up. We got good games this weekend. You'll see the Lakers and the Warriors tomorrow night. In the meantime, coming up, the definitive green list, including the one move made this week that I think might decide the Super Bowl. So we'll get to that, and then we'll get to this. Hembo and Graziano.
God, Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw is one of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks who won at least one game for the Steelers in their history. Can you name the other?
No.
The answer is next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, what's about to happen here is a travesty. So, Hembo has asked a ridiculous question. Terry Bradshaw is one of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks to win at least one game for the Steelers in their history. Who was the other?
I have no idea. I literally no idea.
Tag me in!
No one since Bradshaw. But I don't know the Steeler quarterbacks pre-Bradshaw. But I got a guy who really thinks he knows.
Reading is fundamental.
Dominique Foxworth, you have the floor.
Last summer, I read a book called NFL Century. And in that book, I learned something that I didn't know. Johnny Unitas, boxhead ass, used to play for the Steelers before he went to the Hall of Fame. After he played for the Colts. He started with the Steelers, right, Greeny?
He was drafted by the Steelers. He never played a game for them.
No! So he's probably not the answer then.
So he isn't the answer.
Okay, let me get out of here.
Why is it you don't think you know the answer?
I don't know the answer.
Because why not? What did you tell me about this question?
I said it's out of my lane. Well, I don't know the
right. It's out of your
quarterbacks.
What? It's out of your what?
Lane. This is someone named Lane is the answer.
It's Bobby Lane.
Yeah, see,
it is the worst freaking question of all time.
It's up there.
You cannot have a question.
Got the lion, baby.
Doesn't have a face mask.
It looks like a statue carved out of stone.
Yes, this is the best picture we could find of Bobby Lane.
That's horrendous.
That was carved out of marble.
He needed a win.
No way.
He could win anytime he wants, and this is one of those days.
That was an absolutely terrible question. Okay, let me do the green list. That was an embarrassment to Hembo and his family. All right, today's green list. The top five moves of free agency, in my opinion. Let's start at number five, and we're going to go with the bridge quarterbacks. All right, we're going to go Darnold, Reset, and Minshew. Those are three guys who were signed who are not there going to be the long-term answers for their teams. So that sets up three spots where you should be expecting drafted quarterbacks. One of them in Vegas, one of them in Minnesota, and one of them in New England. So keep a close eye on those three. Number four, I love the Packers signing Josh Jacobs. I love everything about the Packers. I think they have the best young quarterback in the NFL. They have dynamic young talent. And as much as I love Aaron Jones, they just got younger and better at the running back position. I think the Packers are an outstanding Super Bowl pick in the NFC. I think the Ravens are an outstanding Super Bowl pick in the AFC. They were better than the Chiefs last year. They should have beaten the Chiefs last year. They had a bunch of crazy things go wrong. So it's little tiny differences around the edges, and Derrick Henry is a very big little tiny difference. He'll also take a lot of the pressure off Lamar Jackson to be their leading rusher, which he was. I love the Eagles signing Saquon Barkley. I've been saying it for weeks on this show. To me, Saquon is going to have a McCaffrey-esque impact on that offense, running it, catching it. I think he will have a monster year. I think the Eagles win their division. But number one, the Falcons got the guy they needed. Sometimes you just need a good quarterback, and that's exactly what Kirk Cousins is. Let's stop talking about what he isn't. Let's talk about what he is. On that team, I think he makes the Falcons a Super Bowl contender. They have more offensive talent right now than maybe any team in the NFL that we have not even begun to scratch the surface of. He can unlock some of it. If he unlocks all of it, I think they could have as good an offense as there is in the league. So let's come on over here and let's get some takes on this. I will remind people, they have Drake London, a wide receiver who was selected ahead of Garrett Wilson, and no one at the time said, oh, that's a terrible pick. They have Kyle Pitts, who when he was drafted was going to revolutionize the tight end position.
Yep.
He's barely done a thing. Bijan Robinson, best running back prospect we've seen in years. They got the eighth pick in the draft. They can get a pass rusher with that. Their offensive line is already pretty good. And now you add Kirk Cousins. I think the Falcons are not only clearly the best team in the bad NFC South, I think they're a Super Bowl contender, Bart Scott.
That's rich. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender. I think they're a threat to win the division and they get in the playoffs. They can make some noise, but I don't think they have moved up to the upper echelon of the NFC when you think about San Francisco. I even will have to elevate Green Bay up there as well.
Me too.
What they've added. The Detroit Lions have had a tremendous offseason, still have a draft to go to. So I would say Kirk Cousins elevates them. I don't know if he puts them over the top.
Yeah.
But if they draft well in a couple years, you know, maybe they'll be there.
I'm with you. Like, I think the word contender may be doing a lot of heavy lifting there, but I don't think they're the favorite. But I think you add Kirk Cousins into an offense that has talent that, like, unlike we haven't seen the talent fully exhibit itself.
They went 7-10 last year.
I mean,
how many playoff wins Kirk Cousins?
When you look at
he has one playoff win.
When you look at the NFC and the quarterbacks that are over there, we're talking about Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott. We're not talking about what you see in the AFC. So, like, I feel like the Lions were really close.
Real close.
The Packers have a different type of quarterback who's really good. I should have included him in that conversation.
Yeah.
But they were really close. So I really feel like Kirk Cousins and the Falcons should look a lot like what the Lions were looking like when you add a pretty good quarterback to a good system.
Plus a young, enthusiastic, energetic coach that everyone loves and everyone's excited about, and an offensive coordinator, much like the one they have in Detroit, that everyone loves and everyone's excited about. What are you
about the Achilles?
Of course I'm concerned about the Achilles.
Sure.
But if they spent $100 million on a guy and the doctors aren't comfortable with it, then I don't know where to begin.
What's crazy is they could have got Lamar Jackson last year for $200 million and they paid Kirk Cousins at 35, $180 million.
And gave up two first-round picks.
So let's move on from that. Am I told that you have some news
for us? There's a trade. The Vikings and Texans have traded a bunch of picks. Minnesota gets the 23rd pick in this year's draft and pick 232, and Houston gets the 42nd pick in this year's draft, another one, another second rounder in 2025. The nugget is Minnesota now has an extra first round pick.
Oh.
And that's the kind of thing that can help you trade up.
Yeah. So they pick at 11,
pick
at 23.
A bunch of picks, like the second rounder this year, second rounder next year.
They're going to combine those picks to move up to
those
quarterback.
Together, and who are they going up to get? J.J. McCarthy?
I don't know.
J.J. McCarthy?
Somebody who played at the same school as Justin Jefferson?
It better be Drake May or
Jaden Daniels.
It better be something like that.
A little LSU matchup?
J.J. McCarthy, I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, a lot of other people feel differently than you do. I'm not an analyst. I'm just
a Michigan fan. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is.
I don't know if those two picks is going to get you up into Drake May and Jaden Daniels territory.
That's the point.
J.J. McCarthy, the way that Drake May's or Jaden Daniels is being talked about, people think that he might, after the Commanders picked up Mariota, people think that he's going to go second. So,
If I'm New England, I have to get a quarterback. If I'm Washington, I have to get a quarterback.
I mean. So you're trading out of 4 or 5, and I don't think any of the three guys you just named are still going to be there. All right, we'll continue this conversation with First Take, which is coming up top of the hour. Will the Bears contend in their division? Is it shocking the Cowboys didn't call Derrick Henry? They'll get to all of that and a whole lot more. First Take, just a few minutes away here on ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get Up is brought to you by MLB The Show 24, available on all major consoles, rated E for everyone, and by 9-1-1 Thursdays, 8-7 Central, on ABC Stream on Hulu. Hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at you, a fresh.
Ooh,
whoa!
You barely even recognize him. He's like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
All in. We are all in.
If you had one shot, one opportunity, would you let it slide or would you? Okay, anyway.
Wow.
Dan Orlovsky.
My freshman year at UConn, my GPA was a 0.67. I went B+.
I want to know which class you got a B plus in.
Agricultural Resource Economics.
I bet that's come in handy.
This explains so much.
Oh, what do you think Booger had at LSU?
Better than what you had at UConn, I can tell you that.
Someone tell me what powdered meat is.
Not powdered, it's potted.
That's what Dan studied at UConn.
Oh.
With his B+.
I just need to say it. You freaking GMs sometimes.
Speaking for all GMs, they may have some grievances with talk show hosts as well.
That's fair enough. Potted meat is okay. Bologna and cheese is absolutely outstanding.
We'll get some fried bologna, put it on some Wonder Bread.
A
Okie doke.
I've got dinner plans for tonight.
Yeah.
Get that bliggity blick up out of here.
That just flew by.
It's already over?
Fun week as always. Have a terrific weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take now.
Oh, get up.